KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders
of truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 210, recorded July 29th, 2016. I'm your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Maroni Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Greetings, Internet.
Plasticon, a.k.a. Jason Walston.
Yeah, the G2 guru is still here. I ain't ever leaving.
You love Georgia.
Get out of here, man. I'll tell you, it's G2. Dude, he's mad. He's mad. Admit it, he's mad because he doesn't have a light bright. Sorry.
Yeah, light brights are off. I got to admit it.
That was when I was a kid.
Sergio Garcia.
Good evening, everybody.
And also joining us this week from TF Expo is Phil Searle. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be talking a little bit tonight about TF Expo, which will be happening next weekend, the weekend of August 5th in Wichita, Kansas. I'll let Phil talk about that here in a moment. But we'll also be talking about some of the reveals from the Cybertron Con over in Asia after that. Some great, great stuff being revealed already. I know, that six shot just blows me away. Looks absolutely amazing. We'll talk a little bit about that stuff. But Phil, welcome back to TFYLP. I know last year we had you on before the show and had a great time at TF Expo. Glad to see you again.
Well, good. I'm glad you guys are coming back, and I really appreciate you having me back on the podcast.
I want to remind all the listeners that we are on Twitter at TFYLP. So if you're watching us live, or even if you're listening to us on a broadcast or on a download version later on, you can tweet us at TFYLP and ask questions, give comments on things that you hear on the show. And also, we are also on the Facebook group. If you go to the Facebook group, it's usually the top pinned post for the most recent episode. You can comment on that, and we will mention your comment or question on air if you post it while we're live. So if you have any questions on anything that we're talking about, any comments, we'd love to hear them. Post them on there. Also, check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. Where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more, free domestic shipping, CapturePrey.com. Also, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. Phil, you want to tell us about TF Expo and a little history behind the show?
Yeah, sure can. So TF Expo is our Transformers convention here in Wichita, Kansas. We are entering our sixth year this year. So we've had some pretty good shows the past few years. We've had Neil Ross, Sumali Montano, in 2014. We had Greg Berger in 2013, Gary Chalk in 2012. Most recently had Dan Gilbazin and Buzz Dixon here in 2015. And so this year we've actually got David Kay and Michael Bell as our special guests. And then we've also got Octobotomus is joining us as a guest this year and a sponsor of the show, I should point out. And Casey Collar from Mighty W Comics will be there as well. So quite a few guests packed in this year.
Fantastic. Now, this year we're actually going to be in a different location. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're in the hotel at Old Town this year. And so we were at the Holiday Inn out on East Kellogg in Wichita last year, or last couple of years, actually. And that's a pretty good area with some you know, fast food options, places for people to eat. But we kind of wanted to give people more options as far as shopping, as far as walking around and stuff, just in case you don't want to be at the show all day, or if your wife or girlfriend or whoever wants to shop around a little bit. So
what's that?
So we're in the downtown area now. So we're going to give that a try and kind of see how that helps out the show as far as, you know, just giving people options for stuff to do.
Awesome. For the video viewers, actually, I'm sharing the website for TF Expo. So you can check out. You want to tell us a little bit about what you'll be able to get at TF Expo?
Well, we've got actually a special deal that Captured Prey is offering. Captured Prey is going to attend the show, and they are offering for the first 25 people in line Saturday morning, there will be one free Titans Return or Titan Master figure per person that was donated by Captured Prey. So I thought that was a really cool deal of Orson to offer. So we appreciate that. And if you're going to come Saturday morning, make sure you get there early.
Awesome. Now, what about, I've got up the ticket prices here. The pre-registration, is it closed already or?
Yeah, we've closed the pre-registration packages, but you can still buy the general admission tickets online up until the show. So.
Okay.
Those are still available.
For the audio listeners who may be listening to this later this week, you want to kind of go over the pricing structures and everything?
Yeah. Make sure that I'm seeing that properly so we don't have any confusion there. But yeah, we've got the general admission tickets are up. We're pre-selling those for Saturday only, but you can come on Friday also if you want. Just pay at the door. Kids 5 and under are free. And then we've got adult admission is 20 at the door, I believe. Make sure I got that correct.
Yeah.
Custom workshop is 25, and actually Donnie has put together a pretty cool exclusive this year. It's a transforming figure that fits into the Ultra Magnus, the Generations Ultra Magnus, to replace Minimus. I don't think it does that with the helmet down, but you can kind of use him as a mech or as like a drone to kind of drive Ultra Magnus around.
That's pretty unique.
So he's kind of about the same size as Minimus.
So. I saw the picture online. I liked the little brush broom, a little push broom that he
had. Yeah. that was kind of a neat thing they came up with. But yeah, general admission price is $20 for adults, $15 for kids 5 through 12, $15 for military with ID, and kids 5 and under are free. So the pricing.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. And then it's a $10 and if you want autographs this year. We did add that option in for people wanting autographs. They are going to do one free autograph per guest, but if you want additional autographs, it'll be an additional charge for that. So,
awesome. Now, as far as exclusives, what are you going to be offering as far as exclusives?
On the exclusives this year, we've got Shirley Chung has made us some more of the plushy key bots that we did last year. We've got Tactician, Tyrant, and Roddy. So Tactician is a certain logic bot who likes to flip tables, if that narrows it down, and you can kind of figure that out based on our voice guest, probably Michael Bell. He's a police car. Do I need to be any more?
I see the shirt that I want.
The tyrant.
I want the swoop shirt.
You know, he's got a, I think he should probably take that. Voted for the Prowl shirt. That was the vote from everybody that we put up. It's actually going to be the Prowl face on the blue shirt. So,
are you able to buy the exclusives at the show, like, separately or only with the ticket?
You can. We'll have very limited quantities of the keybots left over from the registration. We always order a few extra, and then we do sell those at the show, first come, first served. So, but Tyrant is a take on Predacon Megatron, obviously, because of David Kay, and then Roddy is celebrating the 30th anniversary of Transformers the movie, which I should also point out, we are doing the Orpheum here in town is actually doing the showing of Transformers the movie theatrically Friday night, August 5th. So if you pre-registered for the show at the premium and ultra level, we included the movie tickets with your registration package, but you can purchase those right now actually from WichitaOrpheum.com if you did not get a ticket yet. So that'll be Friday, August 5th at 8 p.m. And that's actually about a quarter mile from the hotel where we're having the expo. So
basically walking distance.
Yeah, it's walking distance. You can walk there in like 10 minutes. So it's awesome. It'll be pretty neat. It was pretty cool of them to do that. And then we're kind of partnering with them on that. Also at the Orpheum, we're going to have a charity auction that's benefiting an organization here in Wichita called Canine Karma. That's a dog rescue. So we're happy to be able to help them out. And I actually can just announce as of today, thanks to Octobotomus arranging this for us, Big Bad Toy Store is donating a Titans Return Fort Max for us to auction at the show. So that'll be Friday night at the Orpheum. So we'll do that charity auction probably about 7:30, 7:45. So if you're coming to the show, make sure you get there a little bit early to hit the charity auction. You can bid on some cool stuff. We're going to have some more prizes on that to announce too. So stay tuned for that. We'll be announcing those on Facebook over the coming week.
Awesome. I know the keybots there. My girlfriend, I got her a Snapdragon last year, and she still has it on her keychain. And as a matter of fact, we went out to BW3s today, and she was wearing her Bumblebee, her yellow Bumblebee shirt.
Oh, very nice. Cool.
One of us.
Yes, one of us. Awesome. She has been converted.
Cool. We'll have to get her check in the mail for the promotion she gave us. Wink,
wink. So. For the movie tickets, you said that was WichitaOrpheum.com?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all one word?
Yes. I'm sure that's all up there. It was last time I looked.
We'll see about getting the link up in the public group there for those that are looking to take advantage of that.
If you're going to the show, I highly recommend getting the autograph wristband. I'm holding up one of the autographed items I have by David Kay, and he's hands down one of the nicest people I've ever met at a convention. He's very, very nice, so I would highly recommend getting an autograph just for him.
Absolutely.
This will actually be the first convention I've ever been to. No, I take that back. I think I've been to a convention with him, but I've never actually met him myself.
Yeah, we're looking really forward to having him. We actually, we've had people asking for him since the very first show, because the first show where we had a guest was Gary Chalk in 2012, and so that started people asking for David Kay, and we finally were able to get that worked out this year schedule-wise, so really excited to have him on board.
Yeah, and he loves meeting fans, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's really great in person. I've had the chance to meet him a couple times at BotCon, so.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet Michael Bell as well. Not only for his work in Transformers, but being a Star Trek fan myself, he was in the pilot episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation as Groppler Zorn. Commander Riker and them and I believe Deanna were in the in his office, and he was like the leader of this this alien race called the Zorn, and I'll never forget that. I remember hearing his voice, and I'm like, that's Prowl.
I had the same experience. I had to look him up afterwards because I was like, wait a minute, I know that voice. And then I think I saw the name in the credits. I was like, okay, yeah, I know that name. Because even back then, I kind of knew some of the voice actors even when I was a kid. So just knew them by name. So I was like, okay, Michael Bell, yeah, that's Duke. Yeah. So, I think he was on Deep Space Nine too, wasn't he? I think he was in an episode of Deep Space Nine as well.
Like he was.
Different character, I think. But yeah. I think he was in that too.
But he voiced numerous characters. I know on the screen here. I mean, Sideswipe, Swoop, Prowl, Scrapper, Brainstorm, First Aid, Bombshell. I mean, up there with Frank Welker's number of characters voice.
Yep, and then we've got Lance from Voltron on there too, the original Lance. He was a couple of the Smurfs as well. I think was it Hefty or Handy? I can't remember. I'll have to look that up. He was a couple different Smurfs.
Say one lifted the weights and had a tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, Grouchy was the other one. Yeah. Grouchy Smurf. Yep.
A man of many talents. David Kay, of course, Beast Wars Megatron, and then Optimus Prime in animated.
Yes.
Several other characters. He's a man of many talents too. Really, really excited to see them.
Absolutely. I think I saw the total of different series that David Kay has been in recently. It's like he's been in 8 different Transformers series now between all the Unicron trilogy, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, animated. Because he was also in Prime, and I think he was in R.I.D. recently too. I think he was in maybe the first season of R.I.D.
And he's also the only voice actor that has done both Optimus and Megatron.
Yes,
officially
noteworthy for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember, I think Gary Chalk said that he back whenever Beast Wars was being cast, he actually wanted the role for Megatron, I believe, but they cast him as Optimus Primal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember hearing that too.
So what else can fans expect at TFO?
Well, I can tell you that the dealer room is sold out, so we're going to have a very very wide selection of vendors to shop from. So we're pretty excited about that, vendors and artists. We're also going to have the cosplay contest is going to be running again this year. We've got some guest judges. Sophie from Ultra Girls will be one of the judges. Mickey Cosplays is another one. Tawny Lane will be there, a local cosplayer. Let's see, Kimmy Cat Cosplays will also be there. So we've got a pretty big all-star cosplay panel. They'll be doing a panel on cosplay. I think it's called Cosplay and Consent is what they're doing at 10 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock is when they'll do the actual cosplay contest. And we actually have a local costuming store called Foggy Bottom who's sponsoring our cosplay contest this year. And so they'll have a $50 gift card for the first prize winner, $30 gift card for the second place winner, and a $20 gift card for the third place winner. So if you're into cosplay, definitely come check out our cosplay contest, and we'll have that going as well. So we just kind of try to have something going for everybody.
Now, cosplay and consent. What is that? That title has me a little curious.
Yeah, I couldn't speak with any authority as to exactly what they're going to talk about. I don't know if it's just some of the issues that have come up recently at other conventions where I don't know if it was harassment with cosplayers or assault or any of that, those kind of issues, but I would imagine that's what she's going to address. So
I've heard issues like that. Also, taking pictures of
yes,
who
are supposed to ask before you take pictures. And right. Most of them will accommodate on that because they, that's part of it. But you do have to be courteous to them. So
don't just walk up and say, "Hey, pose."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're not a dog. They're human beings unless they're dressed as one. But Let's see. Well, I just got messaged here. Hold on. you guys have any other questions?
Sounds like it's a very local friendly show. Sounds like you got a lot of locals getting involved into it. That's great.
We do, yeah. So it's it gets a little bit bigger every year and getting more and more people interested in it and excited about it. So we've got a lot to be excited about this year, especially with our new venue downtown. So really getting excited for the show and hope as many people will make it as possible, because we don't want people to miss out on it. So
location makes a huge factor when it comes to conventions, because whenever I go out of town for a convention, I love visiting the area.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll be able to see more of, you know, what makes Wichita such a nice city in the location that we're in now, as opposed to kind of off on the far end of town, which, I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere, but it's like right on the edge of the highway there, so you can't really walk anywhere to except for
to go outside. And we burned up the A&W last year.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, because that's about all that's in walking distance. There's that and Chipotle right there, but but you know, in our downtown area, you'll have more kind of local eateries and stuff to walk to. And,
well, you know, that's something. You know, Orson and I, whenever we go to different towns, we like to sample, you know, cuisine, you know, for popular places in the area. For example, in Chicago, you got Portillo's, Giordano's. I mean, it's become a must, you know, there. What places would you highly suggest that aren't, you know, like national chains or anything that locals tend to frequent around there?
There is a place called the Old Mill Tasty Shop that's very popular. That one you would have to drive to a little bit. I know right in Old Town Square there, it tends to be more like chain restaurants. There is an Old Chicago there. Let's see, I wish I could think of the name. There's just kind of right across the way, there's a little like a kind of tavern type of place. Oh, what is the name of the one? We've actually got UOB Burgers. Thank you, Aaron. my co-organizer just chimed in for me, so I appreciate that. It's called UOB Burgers is a place to eat there. And then River City Brewery is the one I'm thinking, that's right across from the hotel. And they're actually offering a discount with your TF Expo badge.
Oh, nice.
Aaron's chiming in also with Onio Wine Bar is right there too. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. So just a lot more kind of variety rather than just your typical fast food restaurants around there. So.
Yeah, right. Discounted food, free toys. This is great.
Yeah.
Well, also another thing too, it's like what we did for BotCon this year, coming to Louisville. Are there any sites and everything that are within a reasonable walking or driving distance that people would like to see in the Wichita area?
Well, you're downtown. Actually, walking distance, you're right next to the Museum of World Treasures there. So they've got, you know, if you want to kind of take the kids out and see some different exhibits there, that's right across the way. I know there's a farmer's market going on that morning. So if you're wanting some fresh veggies, I guess, before you head into TF Expo, that's right across the way. I think what else is right there? Yeah. Museum of World Treasures. If you drive a little bit, there's all kinds of museums downtown. There's the Indian Museum. There is Exploration Place, which is right on the river, and it's kind of a science center for kids, basically. Yeah, Cowtown is right there. Historical district in Wichita, or actually, it's a historical museum in Wichita. If you're wanting to check out some of the more like kind of Old West era buildings, they've got them in the Cowtown Museum. So that's kind of a fun thing to walk around too, just to do something a little bit different. There's the Keeper of the Plains statue down by the river that is really cool at night. They light it up with fire and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, you're into open flames, that's the place to be.
Well, lit by open fire. That just sounds...
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I know whenever Orson and I were traveling out there last year, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a history buff. I love to explore things with that are of a historical nature. And I was reading up on Bloody Kansas and all mm-hmm. that stuff. It was my first trip to Kansas. And
there you go.
And as you go down to Wichita, you're from Kansas City and everything. You get out there and you're like on the prairie, and it's like so flat. And you know, you just from this part of the country, you don't realize it until you get out there how flat it is. I mean, it's like the ground meets the sky, and it's awe inspiring. You know, it's the beginning of the frontier where the old West begins, you know, and it's really fascinating. And to read up on history and to be able to go places in there. Now, do you know of any historical places that are of significance in Wichita area? Right off the top of your head? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
man, I should have read up before I did this. Let's see. There is the... I think the Cowtown is kind of your primarily your historical spot. They've actually got some buildings from around the time of when Wichita was founded that they've kind of transported there and kind of made this little old Western town. And they have like reenactors there. Occasionally they do the steampunk festival there. So that's a good location for that. That won't be going on the expo weekend, unfortunately, but that's definitely a thing to check out for history around there. And then my co-organizer is also mentioning the Orpheum Theater, where the Transformers movie showing is Friday night, is actually a historical venue unto itself. That's one of the first big theaters in Wichita. It was built in 1922. So historical draw unto itself. They're actually in the middle of a restoration phase for that right now. They're trying to kind of restore it back to what it was originally when it first opened. So it's a really cool place to check out.
I'm really looking forward to that. I was actually just asked a few moments ago by Orson. He said, "Hey, let's do the movie night." I'm like, "Okay."
So, you guys definitely should.
Talking about drive times and everything for people who are, you know, looking for something to do next weekend and everything. Now, I know we're coming from the Louisville area, mm-hmm. Orson and I, and it's about, you know, taking in the factors of restroom breaks and stopping and get something to eat and gas and all that stuff. It's about a 12-hour drive from Louisville. Let's say North Texas, you know, Oklahoma, places like that. What are average drive times from like Denver and stuff that you would expect?
Denver, I believe you can make it between 8 and 10 hours. I think it's closer to 8 hours. I might be misspeaking on that. I don't go to Denver a whole lot, but Oklahoma City is about a 2.5 hour drive from here. Tulsa's probably right around 3 hours. Coming from Dallas in Texas, I know it's probably about six hours somewhere in there. That's not bad at all, really. So, coming from Kansas City is about 3:15 or so. But
I know, but yeah. It's not too bad, and the speed limits are really high in Kansas. I remember that.
Yeah, we've got the 75 on the interstate. So, yep.
Yeah. I wasn't used to that whenever we was coming out of Kansas City, and I'm cruising along at like 70 and everything. Orson's like, you do realize it's 75. I'm like, it is. And I saw a sign on it is. I'm really, really excited and look forward to next weekend. I know last year I had a blast. So it's not too bad. You know, if you're on the fence, I highly recommend it, and hope to see everybody there. And if you do, mention TFYLP and tell Phil that you heard about it on TFYLP.
Yeah, definitely do. Yeah, I appreciate that. We really appreciate having you guys come out, and like I said, we appreciate the chance to join you guys here on the podcast too. It's absolutely always a lot of fun.
If you want to talk a little about some of the reveals. Have you been checking out some of the reveals from CybertronCon?
I have, yeah. There's some pretty cool stuff coming out. I'm really surprised by how much Six Shot looks like G1 Six Shot.
Kind
of with a Headmaster, and I think it's kind of funny. The I had to laugh at the submarine mode. It's like, yeah, don't
just turn it upside down. It's a gun.
Don't turn the submarine upside down, kids. This is not a weapon. we promise.
We got a compromise here.
It's
and a machine gun. It's a submachine gun.
Yes, there you go. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he doesn't have a base mode because the other leaders do, and I kind of thought they would give up the gun or sub mode, whatever it is, and do the base mode instead. I wouldn't
be surprised, because seeing the way they did the Fort Max of its official transformation, seeing the fan modes, mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody's going to fan mode that thing into that easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw people fan modding or fan moding Galvatron into having a base mode, which I thought was kind of cool.
I'm still
Sentinel
waiting.
Prime as well. That
yeah,
orange
probably.
One. Yeah, I've seen probably. That in a base mode too, and it looked really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting to retrofit Generations Nightbeat with the head.
Is there a piece for that? Is there a socket that you can
use? Not yet. Although I suspect there will be something. It's not a difficult mod, from what I understand. Because mm-hmm. the way the head for Generations Nightbeat, it's on a slide socket with a mushroom port. Mm-hmm. So it just basically, you just slide it out, and the gap is not big enough to keep the Titan Master stable in there. So mm-hmm. what you'd need to do is possibly either buy a adapter kit or slightly carve around there and cut out the little notch that's in the weapon. You might want to get like a second one since they're so cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, that way you'd still have a weapon with him, weapon mode. But cut out the little notch that the Titan Master head fits in, slide it in there, you know, kind of super glue it in there, and voila, you got you an instant Headmaster. It's like a really simple, really simple mod. Although I was hoping to be able to do it with my Go Shooter as well, because I'm getting the wheelie, Takara wheelie with Go Shooter. Since I've got the United Go Shooter, I was hoping to be able to make him an actual Headmaster too. But I don't know if I want to go cutting on my Go Shooter.
It's not as tempting to cut into a $100 figure, I guess, as it is a $50 figure, probably.
Well, actually, these were on clearance at BBTS like $6.
Really?
They were cheap.
I should have grabbed one.
Yeah.
Be honest, I wouldn't be surprised somebody on Shapeways isn't figuring out some kind of little mechanism that allows that to happen, considering there's a lot of stuff coming up through Shapeways for a lot of these newer bots that's been coming out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know
for Galvatron.
Yeah.
No, because I got some customs over here I made with Shapeways stuff.
Trent Troop, our friend Trent Troop, he has got some great things that he's put out on Shapeways already that are for Titan Masters. He's even gone so far as to make a Monstructor Slog Pretender Shell that a Titan Master will fit in the back of. That's really awesome. New face plates, everything from Tarn to Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah, he's got like 20 of them already so far. He's been putting a ton of those up there.
Yes, I've seen like I thought I saw somebody post something on Facebook dealing with that, and there was like a lot of like 10 of them that you can buy for like whatever the price was. So you can get like 10 of the face swapping gimmicks itself, because apparently it's supposed to be really easy to pop those faces off the back of these little Headmasters.
Just take the screw out of the middle of it and separate the front half from the back half, and put a new faceplate on and screw it back in.
Sounds just like the old G1s.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Just a lot smaller.
Yeah, I know, right?
They are tiny. I've got a Fans Project Solaron here, and this thing is even bigger than a Titan Master. So, yeah.
Honestly, would you compare those little Titan Masters probably about the size of a Micromaster?
They're smaller, I think. If you remember, if you're familiar with the G1 Junior Headmasters, they're about that size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're about that size and everything. So
yeah, I used to have almost all those.
Yeah,
they're one time.
They're extremely tiny. I know. I knew that I expected them to be small whenever I first got them, and then whenever I got it in hand, I'm like, wow, this is even smaller than I thought it would be. But yeah.
I wonder how they stack up the micro, like the original Diaclone figures with the magnetic feet. I wonder how tall they are compared to those. Because those were like an inch high.
So
kind of, it's the same thing.
I'm not entirely sure. Because
they're not much more than an inch high. They're maybe, maybe an inch and a half. I mean, they're pretty tiny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have one immediately handy, or I would hold it up.
Well, I haven't been lucky enough in our area to see any on the shelves yet, and that's why I'm asking the questions, because there's a lot of us that are kind of in the same boat right now. They're coming out, but where? If you wanted to get them off a peg.
Well, my local Walmart, I live in a small one-horse town, as it were, you know, and we have a Walmart here and a Kroger, and that's it as far as places that would actually carry Transformers. Right. And the Walmart got in the first wave of the Deluxes. I bought one of each of those, and they sold out within a day.
Well, see, my Walmart still has two Skywarps sitting on the shelf, along with a ton of Bruticus limbs.
Yeah, I mean,
we're still stuck with a lot of that
here. I fear that some of the more outlying areas, they will be still sitting on Combiner Wars Wave 3 or 4 stuff for a while. But, you know, you go to your bigger cities, and I'm sure you'll be able to find some Titan Return things.
Right.
Now, Sergio, you're our news guru. You want to lead us into the reveals?
We have tons and tons of reveals. I was actually texting Duron last night that I wasn't home when all the reveals were hitting, so I was texting Jack, like, spamming him with photos. Like, post these. But we got a lot. Let me start screen sharing over here.
Jack Brunner, he said he knows it takes at least 2 months for the line, after the line comes out, for it to fully reach the stores in his area. He's been getting his at retail whenever he goes out of town. So, yeah, I mean, it's like mine. I'm not able to get it unless I either get it from Capture Prey or go into Louisville proper. Oh, and going back to Michael Bell, listener Eric Dupuis says Michael Bell did appear twice on Deep Space Nine, once as a Bajoran in a Cardassian prison camp, and another time as an alien smuggler named Drofo Awa.
Okay. Yep.
So interesting.
You can't actually ignore his video game career too, because he had quite a few voices he did there as well.
Oh yeah, and he still does video games. Obviously Transformers Devastation, which I'm just now getting a chance to play. But he's awesome as a Sideswipe in that, coming back, and I think he does Scrapper in that too, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Sergio is actually sharing some stuff, and here are a couple really, really nice ones. You want to, Jim? We haven't heard much from you here. I'm sorry. You want to talk a little bit about some of these?
Well, I was actually checking over the reveals myself while you guys were talking there, and I got to say I am excited for a great majority of these. Right off the bat, the Hot Rod. It looks like it's made out of pure love.
Yes.
Still not totally sure how I feel about Hot Rod being a headmaster as opposed to a target master that he was in the past, but I'm warming up to it.
I actually know somebody that's going to be, like, really all about this thing when it comes out, and I'm sure all of us know who exactly we're talking about. Mr. Proto Man, he's probably like, oh my God, yes, please.
Right.
I think this hot rod, like, literally spot on, almost like the G1. It looks a lot like it. It looks more cartoony almost, if you look at it, just the way the curves are.
And something I think is awesome, it is not Rodimus Minor, Rodimus Major.
It is Hot Rod.
It is Hot Rod.
Well, Fire Drive Hot Rod.
Fire Drive. No, well, but I'm, Fire I'm Drive has got to be his headmaster.
Yeah, Fire Drive is the headmaster.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So. Hot Rod with Fire Drive.
But you think about it, wouldn't that be really easy to probably, for like a customizer, to take that and turn it into Spike or Daniel, one of the two?
Maybe.
I wouldn't doubt that maybe the Takara version may actually call him Spike or Daniel.
This one looks silver. I mean, I could see them probably doing like a little bit of a variant, maybe adding a little bit of white and blue kind of here and there to kind of make it look like the exosuit. I mean, the helmet kind of almost looks like it already.
It's I'm trying to see if he posted the photos with. Let's see.
Are you talking about the official images? Or?
Yeah, they were in-hand images in the cases. I don't know if you got those up. They were like a ton. But I noticed, if you look closely at the guns, it looks like one side is hollow, and it looks like you can actually combine the two guns to make the seat for the headmaster.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, too.
And to me, it doesn't... When I was looking at the pictures from the cases, it didn't look like there were any pegs. It looks like the hand pegs might combine into a single peg. That might be the way that they're doing it. I could be wrong, but that's just the way from pictures I'm judging.
Looking at the contour of the hot rod, remove the rear spoiler and remove the side pipes.
Really?
Paint it pink.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an easy Headmaster RC. Easily.
RC was a convertible, though, wasn't she?
No, well, when there was going to be a Headmaster RC that was only like drawn on a napkin, that was a chrome dome mold that they were going to use. And I wouldn't have been surprised if maybe Hot Rod might have been thought about, because I've seen people take the original G1 Hot Rod and turn it into RC. And it actually works very well. But I've seen people do the same thing with Blur. I actually think the Hot Rod mold kind of hits the mark a little better than the Blur mold did.
He's going through some customs there, and somebody customized the G1 Blur as RC, it looks like.
Well, yeah, I've seen that, but I'm saying I've seen a Hot Rod done as that as well. I'm not seeing it anywhere on here, which is surprising.
If I'm not mistaken, I think one of the earlier BotCons actually had a prototype. I'm going to find that.
So,
I think the prototype was actually made of wood. It was actually not an actual resin prototype.
Headmaster Don would probably know for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, because, you know, I sent him my custom... There it is.
Phil's Wi-Fi dropped out. That's why he dropped out. He's trying to reset his modem right now.
To infinity
and beyond. The hot rod looks amazing. I can easily see an RC redeco out of that. Now the kick. Let's go to the kick back there.
Ooh, I'm most excited about.
Okay.
I am excited.
I have to say this. For the folks that probably missed out on the other two Insecticons, probably thinking, oh, well, we're never going to get this one. Do you guys foresee them releasing a three-pack with all three Insecticons in it now?
Eventually, maybe, yeah.
It could be like a store exclusive.
I see Takara doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think Takara has released the other two, have they?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think so.
I think they have. One thing I am disappointed about, it was the first thing that popped in my head, was I really wish that the club was still around. They could have done the more Diaclone homages on these guys, especially with the chest being able to open so that you can put the Titan Master in.
They've confirmed that?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. that clear piece on the chest and then the.
I wonder if Bombshell doesn't he have a compartment?
No. Bombshell and Shrapnel both are just painted onto the torso. They're not actually separate pieces at all.
But you know,
I wasn't sure though because looking at these, I thought they were the renders. I figured they would end up just solid plastic by the time it comes to release.
Yeah. My critiques about this kickback, though, and this is just being nitpicky, are the narrowness of the robot head. He looks like he's got a really pinched robot head. and the wings. I know the promotional picture there, they're probably misplaced. They need to be more backward, more on his back and pointing straight up. And I would prefer them to be more silverish or clear.
Looks as though they're coming off from his arms as opposed to his torso as the G1.
Yeah, that's also a concern. I mean, the bug mode looks fantastic. The robot mode is just my little nitpicky thing.
What gets me, his robot mode is concealed within a separate robot head. Separate insect head. Even though his helmet and all is designed after the bug head, just like it was in G1, there's another head, a faux head, to go over the one.
I like that helmet. That's actually a really ingenious engineering thing. I love when they do stuff like that because that's something a lot of Transformers in the past kind of just missed out on. Like, there could have just been like a helmet that folded over this that made it even better. Right. And they're actually catching on now. I don't mind the translucent. I think the translucent looks great.
Well, I mean, I don't mind it being translucent, just as long as it may be more of a silver translucent or just straight up clear with maybe like the veins in the wings painted black or something, you know, yeah. Or, you know, just give it a little something to stand out.
Now, I'm
just saying that this, to be nitpicky, I love it. It looks great. But if I had my druthers, that's what I would like to see. I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, one thing I can see maybe Takara doing, if they decide to do anything with this mold, a little different than, you know, Hasbro would, I could see them maybe taking the chrome like you're talking about, but maybe, you know how on some Beast Wars figures where they were translucent, but they painted just like a certain portion of it and you can still see through? I could see them doing something like that with maybe like a chrome paint or something.
Mm-hmm. And it'll flake.
Where you can just kind of outline like some of the details, which would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil, what's your thoughts on Kickback?
I think he's cool. I guess I probably kind of have some of your hang-ups too, just as far as like the body construction and the robot mode. It was bugging me a little bit that Shrapnel and Bombshell kind of had different colors a little bit. I wish they had kind of color matched them a little bit better. And that's just kind of being, you know, it's just, they were kind of different shades of purple, I guess, and stuff like that, which is really pretty nitpicky. But I just remember the G1 figures kind of having that really nice uniform look where they were all exactly the same colors lined up together. But it's kind of the same thing with Kickback. It's really cool. He's got the cockpit that opens up just kind of makes me wish that Bombshell and Shrapnel had it too. But you know, that's silly to complain about when you get a new feature with the figures. And I think that's really cool with the Titans Return figures that they're not taking anything away from the traditional, construction of a lot of these guys to them without sacrificing very much. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. In wave one of Titans Return, Legends. We're getting Kickback. Bumblebee is returning. He's got like a classic G1 look in robot mode, but vehicle mode, he kind of looks more like the classics Bumblebee, which is kind of refreshing, but at the same time, it's like if you're going to homage one, why not just have it the other way, you know? Who's the third one, the gray head there? I can't remember.
No, sure.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, Gnaw looks awesome.
I've already told Orson, be prepared to order case assortments of that.
Oh, yeah.
I will buy an entire case of Gnaw.
So. Yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay,
the only way I think that Gnaw could get better is if we had a Dinobot to go along with it. Knocked out Norse. Excuse me.
Well, I'm going to put him with my masterpieces because, you know, he's going to be just about the right size. So.
Yep, for Grimlock to stomp on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And me, Grimlock, say, execute him!
Actually, I was wondering about the one, on the reveals, the Titan Master, what was his name, Terra?
Swoop.
I was looking at that. Is that supposed to be Swoop?
I believe it's supposed to be Swoop.
Because I was wondering, I got to look, and I'm like, that looks an awful like a Dinobot head.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clobber is supposed to be Grimlock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew that.
Now, if they'll just do a sludge, I'll be happy.
Yeah, you know they might. I mean, haven't they said something where they're tired of kind of skipping a certain character if they have like a run of certain ones? They kind of would just have them all, so that way nobody can complain really. I know when it comes to name wise.
2 year, I think. I don't remember if it was this year or last year at BotCon. They said that they know that certain characters, if you put one out, you got to put another one out. And they use the Seekers, for example. If you make a Starscream, you got to make a Skywarp and Thundercracker.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by extension, Ramjet, Thrust, and Dirge.
If you make an Optimus, you have to make a Megatron.
Mm-hmm. Which hence makes complete sense.
Which leads into the one that we have on screen right now, Sergio.
This is the Voyager Wave 1 for 2017. Titans Return Optimus Prime, which, just judging from the photos we've seen, we all know who he's going to be repainted into.
Yeah. And I don't care. I want this thing still repainted as G2 Laser Prime.
Yeah, I'm hoping Takara will do that, maybe. Yeah,
He is modeled after him. You can tell by the shoulders and the clear sword. He is modeled after
truck mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, we can easily see a Octane redeco and slight retool out of that as well.
There's a Star Convoy head for him too, isn't there? Weren't there like two alternate head designs, and then they went with the more G1 just standard looking Optimus? But I think there's a Star Convoy head designed for that also.
Wasn't that for the Combiner War Optimus, the Battle Corps?
He had the crest on there, but I think somebody was saying, and I kind of remember seeing now, I haven't found it, but I think this Titans Return Voyager Optimus was originally shown, at least in the sketches or the blueprints or whatever. He had more of a Star Convoy
head. Yeah, a couple of rumors online were talking about how they were designing the head to look, and even the person who posted the rumors that supposedly saw these before, they were revealed, he or she mentioned that the head looked very Star Convoy. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming, I mean, if they did change it, if Takara does release it down the road, they might do the Star Convoy head.
Yeah, or they might be saving it for, I heard somebody theorize it might be for a road or something, or store exclusive or something, if they do a different version of him.
And I'm pretty sure RID people are going to be flipping out because this thing could easily be a Scourge, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is.
I mean, this thing has hit so many marks when I saw this truck mode and this robot mode. Airplane mode's cool. I'm not even mad about that. I think that's great.
Yeah, I know we mentioned this on last week's show, but it's just the club would have just had a field day with this line.
Mm-hmm.
So many ideas can be made from these guys.
I would totally go for the Japanese version Black Convoy with upside down G2 Autobot insignia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, guys like me that are big customizers, we're gonna eat these things up like candy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I've got to love the homage to Diaclone on here by calling his head Diac.
Yeah,
that's a really neat little touch there.
And honestly, just like the way every mode looks, this is the triple changer actually done right. It doesn't look like anything's really hampered.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'm noticing with these, and that's actually making me very happy because the engineering's finally getting to the point that it doesn't look like a kludgy mess.
Yeah.
I don't know, that jet mode just does kind of.
Well,
he actually had a different. Transformation for the jet mode on the display cases. The cab wasn't as noticeable. I think they folded it in a different way, but it looks a lot better from the actual like in-hand photos.
It would, I think it would look better as if, imagine, okay, the tail fins there on the back, if it were on a spine that you could extend a little bit longer and then just fold the cab back all of G1 octane, you know, how he, underside of the jet, you can see the cab of the truck upside down kind of. But, you know, you would have that here, but the tail fin would like extend out over that on a spine and just make the jet longer. I mean, of course, that would look better, in my opinion.
That, or, I mean, at least flip the cab upside down.
Trying to
so that way it has, like, a slope. And with the tanker mode, I saw a picture of the translucent portion on the back of the tanker truck that flips forward where you put the headmaster into, and you're able to actually plug the gun emplacement on the front. So it looks like he's actually manning the gun instead of actually sitting in the gun manning it, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this thing actually has a lot of potential. I mean, that's a much clearer image, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And that honestly,
doesn't look ass crap.
No, it's honestly, I don't think it's crap at all. I think this is good because I've seen, how many times have we seen triple changers?
Literally? I think the Octane repaint will look a lot better. I feel like his colors will be a lot more uniform.
Do you guys think they're going to change the nose cone of the plane maybe slightly, though, just for that repaint? Or because they've been doing a lot of remolding here and there.
Aside from
maybe they might do that?
It's possible. But aside from the wings kind of far back there, he almost has a seaplane look to him. You know, with the sides of the truck split out like that, it kind of has the like the pontoon appearance. It's just, maybe it's just me, but
there's something here that's kind of missing. And, you know, when I look at the cockpit of this aircraft, it looks to me like the SR-71 cockpit. Mm-hmm. It just straight up looks like that.
Well,
so I'm kind of wondering
on a black convoy. Yeah. Or a Scourge. Yeah. It would look like an SR-71.
I just noticed one thing. I was comparing the image that you're screen sharing with the render. I just happened to find the official images, CG renders on Sabertron. And on the wings, it almost looks as though they can rotate back further, because on the render where it shows, you know, you'd obviously see a truck cab, it seems as though the wings are much further up than they are on
it
the
does.
Display
yeah.
that you have there. So I'm thinking there's a couple of hinges or something.
It, where it looks like literally what they did here, it looks like that's actually flipped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, upside down.
Yeah, they're flipped. Yeah. So at least there's options.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm.
And cool. Those options are nice because some people, you know, like how many times have we gotten like certain robots in the past, and it's like, well, I like him like this, you know, and then they extend something out. It's like, you know, your old G1 combiners. Most people will take the arms and extend them out so that way they look longer, right? Ah. And then some people, they just leave them pushed in, and they might look a little stumpy. So there's people that do that kind of variant always, so I like these kind of little teeny tiny options. It's nice to see this.
You know, I've said this a lot with a lot of the Titans Return line that I'm going majority to Kara, but I think this is one of those other figures where paint will make, like, a hell of a difference.
Absolutely.
Repro Labels are going to be jumping on that, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, we're going to be all over this. I can't wait to see this thing done up as freaking like G2 Laser Prime, man. That's going to be sick.
I'm trying to save this. Wow. At Wheel Tracks, I can't share it because it's not allowing me to. But I've got the Pantone color sheet for the G2 Laser Prime here that we're looking at. I'll share it in a group, I guess, is what I'll do. It's the best thing I can do. Well, I can't save it, though. Crap.
You can't screen share it?
It's not allowing me to do it. Gotta love technology here. Okay. Oh, well, I'll share this. Let's see here.
Hey, there we go.
Put it on a darker background here. Well, Twitter... Where'd it go? There it is. There it is.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah.
That is pretty.
Yeah. I don't know if I can drag it out any bigger than that, though.
Yeah, I think
I can't see anything without creating an Inception.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's...
Star Convoy head.
Yeah, right there on the right, the alternate one. It's basically, it looks like an Optimus Prime without the center crest painted, and the sides of the antenna, and then the forehead painted, and it gives it a very Star Convoy-ish look. It doesn't look like it's too much remolding there, actually, at all.
It might be just paint variant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen that before several times. Well, they won't paint a certain thing. It's like, if you take off the paint and you do this and it looks like this, oh my God, it's a different one. What?
Also notice foil label art on the side. I'm kind of wondering, are we going to actually get stickers with this version of him?
That would be nice. I know some people out there really cringe when they hear the sticker thing, but guys like me, we love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you at Wheel Tracks for sharing that. That's pretty awesome there. Now what's next up on the screen here, Sergio?
We got the it says Wave 1 2017, but I'm pretty sure it's gonna be Wave 3 of the Titan Masters. And I don't know the first two. I'm really fuzzy. If somebody can help me out on these.
We got looks like the one on the far left, I'm guessing is Overkill.
I think so.
Yeah, it's meant to be Overkill. It's basically the squeeze play head just repainted in Overkill colors with the dark blue and the grays. And then Leon, I believe.
Yes.
He was a Japanese headmaster.
Mm-hmm. Which turned into a lion, I believe. That's a really nice homage. And then also we got Fangry, which actually keeps his name, unlike Horrible. They changed to Terrible.
Red.
Yeah. Fangry is keeping his name. Although I'm kind of curious as to why they didn't call them, you know, like Kreb, Quig. You know, and instead of Nightbeat and everything, because that's what these heads were. I don't know. And then, of course, Autobot Taro, which is Swoop.
Do we have images of the smaller bot portion of the smaller portions that they come with? Because they actually do have, like, bodies that come with these. Did we get any of those photos or not?
I'm looking through the official images, the renders now, and I'm not seeing.
I saw them earlier.
They showed them, yeah.
Seems like the Overkill, which I believe they're calling Overboard. Yeah, Fangry. Yeah,
there's Fangry right there.
That is pure win. You got the winged wolf, the bat wolf mode, and then like a dragon.
I like how the head is on the stomach.
I love how the headmaster's riding the dragon. It literally sits and rides on the dragon. That's ingenious. I love that.
That's what the squeeze play one did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a tarot. Yeah, he's got a pterodactyl mode, and then looks like a jet speeder.
Mode. That is almost like an Action Master kind of thing to do. I dig that.
actually, the one on the right almost appears more of a weapon type mode too, or at least one step removed from one.
I think those were the only two that had actual physical copies. I could be wrong.
I thought I saw the lion.
Those are the only two that have in-hand samples.
Okay.
Yeah, Fangry, I'm jumping on. That thing is beautiful.
Yeah, we're having a couple, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. technical issues. I thought that we updated this post.
Your astro train of thought transformed and flew into space.
Yeah. I thought we updated this post, but I think WordPress is being dumb right now. So I'll have to use another source to get onto the next topic, which is the one that everybody's been waiting for. And that is, if it loads, Six Shot.
Yeah. The ninja consultant from the planet Cybertron. I love how it looks like they have a repro-label Decepticon sitting down there. But the only thing is that the legs, I hope they extend just a little bit more because he looks a little bit stumpy.
Yeah, a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a missed transformation. How many times have we seen
that? It is Hasbro, after all.
Yeah.
I think I saw somebody on Facebook had a picture of him from behind.
Leave it to somebody to take a picture of a robot's ass and put it on Facebook.
Now, okay, are you guys kind of maybe a little bit upset that he still has the wing things that are going to be in the way when he poses his arms?
No, I like that. I mean, it's just like the G1.
Yeah.
I could have seen maybe where, you know, they'd still do the wing things, but maybe they kind of maybe accordion in or something so it still has it so it doesn't hamper the movement, but I'm not even mad. I mean,
even the high dollar third party Mastermind Creation
Hexatron
does that, and I wouldn't change a thing. It does what the original did. I mean, the wings were out there in the way of the arms. I mean,
this looks great.
It does.
Yeah,
it really looks like the G1 with articulation. Honestly,
yeah, and from pictures that I saw from like all different angles, there is little to no hollow pieces. They really are stepping their game up with this guy. He's definitely going to be worth the, what are they retail now, $50? He's definitely worth that.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is a leader, not a Voyager?
He is a leader class.
Mm-hmm. He's a leader
class. They had to make it leader class to fit all that stuff in.
There's no way they can budget six modes.
No.
They had to cram a submarine in there.
What's great, though, is that all six modes are very faithful to the original Six Shot.
Yep.
Yeah, the winged wolf.
Yeah.
Look, he's even wearing Nikes too.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's, I thought that was linear.
That's awesome.
I actually dig the head sculpt too. The head sculpt's pretty nice on the wolf mold.
Mm-hmm. It's like the G1 toy with knees and elbows. I love it.
Yeah. It is. And that's, if you look at this, it's actually got two places where little Titan Masters can sit in.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the carrier mode and actually turns it into a carrier.
I believe these are the little pegs for them too.
It looks like the car cockpit actually opens.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the thing that it's even more odd, there's the submarine mode.
Wink, wink.
And I love the idea that they actually put the headmaster in the cockpit area saying, this is supposed to be the front of the submarine.
Yep. It's a submarine. Yep. It doesn't look
totally
like a submarine.
Totally not going to turn that over and use that as a role play space gun. No.
I know, right?
Eat fresh.
No, not going to do it.
It's a submarine.
But it even looks like it transforms very much like the original Six Shot, too. But look at this. The tank mode even is so G1 inspired.
Right.
Amazing.
This is my favorite mode.
Yes, it is. That's my favorite mode of the original, too.
Is that a halfway amusing thought?
But this is the thing they missed, though. They could have done the winged wolf. The part where he's like transformed halfway, where he's like the winged wolf flying.
Uh-huh. Well, they did.
Could have got, why? Oh, no, well, no, they got the winged wolf itself. Yeah. Remember the part where he's like part way transformed between that and a different mode?
You could
he's
probably
kind of like partly in car mode, isn't he, for that one, the G1 version. That was like his seventh mode where he's like.
Yeah, his seventh mode.
The car with the wings and the wolf head.
Now, yeah, they should have done that just to make people laugh.
I got to say, though.
I can't wait.
Seeing as how the submarine mode is supposed to be a submarine, why not just paint this red and turquoise and gray and slap an Autobot logo on it and call him Quick Switch.
Yeah.
It's a repaint.
I like how this kid's face is exactly how we are looking at it right now.
We're just sitting there like, whoa.
See, what was once a...
What generation are we living in? Now, here?
He could just fly into the battle and go, hello to my little friend.
You know, this is kind of an aside, but, you know, we were talking, I believe, in the private group about, you know, generations growing up with the toys. Our generation looks at these toys totally different. Like that child there, he's looking at Six Shot. This to him, this is something totally new and totally amazing. And, you know, whereas us older guys, we've seen it before. It's just an update of what we've seen before. And we're totally into it for a totally different reason. It makes me wonder, you know, is Hasbro doing something right? Or are they doing it right? Could they do something better? You know, everybody can always do something better, but I mean, what could they do better? What are they doing wrong? What are they doing right? I'd like the listeners to give their feedback on that. Let us know what you think. What's Hasbro doing right with these new lines? Should they go a completely different direction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know on our Facebook group or on Twitter at TFYOP. Be interesting to hear people's opinions on that.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some of the most hardcore third-party guys complimenting these figures.
Yeah.
And they're doing a fantastic job so far from the few figures that I've bought.
Now, my biggest thing, and I was actually talking about this with Orson earlier this afternoon. We were chatting back and forth on Facebook. And these figures... they capture the look so well for some of these vintage characters like Skullcruncher, you know, the Hardhead. They are so faithful. This Six Shot, it is a letter of love to G1. It's what we've been wanting. My only concern are one, the visible hollowness. I understand hollowness has always been part of the line, but it's just the overt visibility of the hollowness on a lot of these figures. And the number two, and this is the biggest one for me, the build quality. The plastic feels cheap. It just and like my Skull Smasher, when I got it, I literally had to disassemble the legs and hips and do the clear nail polish trick to it and let it dry, so he would even be able to stand. He wasn't able to stand out of the package.
Well, that sounded, I mean, honestly, Daron, everybody had that issue, and to me it sounded like it was a manufacturing error.
And that goes into build quality. I mean, it's
But the thing you have to look at when it comes to every one of these figures that's coming out, they're doing these for the masses. They're not doing this for the guy that can afford the $700 combiners. They're doing this for somebody that can walk in the store and buy this with their budget. I mean, honestly, these are budget formers. That's what G1 was. It was a budget thing. So you do have to look at that, and some people out there that don't like that stuff, I get that. I understand that. But honestly, for somebody that doesn't have a lot of money, these are actually perfect.
I mean, I see where your argument is coming from, but I still don't think that basic qualities, like at least being able to stand up, is something that you should expect.
Exactly.
For the price that you're paying.
Right. Well, I'm agreeing with you. They probably should have ran a little more QC on Skull Smasher. So most of them are pretty solid. He was the one that had the biggest problems out of all of them.
Yeah, my Hardhead is fine. Skull Smasher, he had... mine weren't as bad. He could actually stand up, but I just did it for, you know, better be safe than sorry. But I did tighten his joints as well.
So,
Skull Smasher in particular?
Mm-hmm. Skull Smasher in particular, my Blur was probably the best built out of all four of the things. Now, Scourge... from what I understand, it's a universal thing, pretty much everyone's. The way his Titan Master connects to the body is literally on a pinch joint. I mean, there's like a little clip that holds the head on, and you sit there and wiggle the figure, and it's like a bobblehead.
Mm-hmm. And Takara actually pushed him from a July to an August release, so I'm hoping that they do something where they change the molding a little bit. and try to fix that issue, because he was originally slated to be out in July.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've gathered, and this is coming from the Combiner Wars stance, from what I hear, a lot of the United sets over there, a lot of those box sets, a lot of those combiners are much stiffer, and the joints and the QC is higher. Now, that's not necessarily true with everything.
Yeah.
From what I've gathered, most of those are actually pretty decent. And it, to me, it just looks like we were saying, Skull Smasher, he was kind of rushed, I would say. I think he was rushed to kind of throw in that fourth guy that they needed.
That's debatable. My Unite Warrior Superion was missing fingers from one of the hand-foot pieces. He came all the way from Japan. I just made it a permanent foot. I really didn't want to go through the trouble of having to pack it up and return it, so I just made it a foot permanently.
Is there any difference between that and the Hasbro mold on those feet?
Molding? No. They're just molded in white.
Then, I was about to say, to be honest, you probably could find a Hasbro one, paint it white, and then use it that way if you had to.
It's not that big of a deal. Like I said, I just made it a permanent foot. But I think an example of a possible running change would be Brawl. I know in the BotCon 2016 set for General Ramhorn, I don't know about everybody else's, but the waist on mine is perfect. It's stiff. It doesn't flop around like my Brawl does.
Yeah, mine was the same way. But to finish up, I don't want to get too much on a tangent. I just wanted to state that while I love this line and I love what it's doing and I love what I'm seeing in general, I just wish they would step up the build quality. And for example, I got Orson picked up for me while he was at TFCon in Toronto. He picked up a RID 2.0 Starscream. Looks great. I love it. A fun little transformation. But he was floppy as all get out. He, again, another instance, could not stand out of the package. Literally took him out of the package, stood him on a wooden table, and he just did the splits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how I positioned him. I get him it's like trying to balance a salt shaker on a table. You know, you got to sit there and you let him go, and then he just fall back or fall forward or do the splits.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be a kid's toy. Kids are supposed to play with the RID line. Imagine being a kid taking it out of the package. You're so excited that your parents bought you a toy only for it to not even be able to stand up.
Yeah. And I don't think it's excusable in any sense, but if you're going to excuse it in the little kids lines, you know, like the RID 2.0, which is geared more toward the younger fan. But in the lines that are very clearly aimed at older fans like us and kids in their tweens, which is the Titan Returns line, I would expect a little bit more quality in that, because your older fans are going to be more vocal about this product than, say, the younger fans. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you might have some angry parents to say, I bought this toy for my little child and it's loose and floppy. You know, you might get that from time to time, but you're going to get a lot of angry older fans going online, hunting down Hasbro's PR department and sending them an email. You made me a piece of crap. You know, you know how the internet is.
Well, I mean, Daron, remember when the Menasor came out and they had issues with it? And later on, they did some slight running changes in the Optimus
or in the
Motormaster, where they actually added extra detents. I could see them probably going back and doing like a second run of that figure, knowing that they screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, we're going to bite it on this one here and do a slight running change and fix it.
Yeah, but so I don't think
happen. They shouldn't have to.
They should not have to. They've been doing this for 30 years. By now, it should be a science. Well, I understand. I understand mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing can be perfect, but QC issues have just been left and right in recent years.
And I'm trying to be forgiving too, because I do understand that they are running through a new factory. They're coming out of Vietnam now, rather than China or Taiwan or really like right. that. And I think that was more of a move to cut down on the KOs. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll eliminate them altogether, but I think it will cut down drastically on them.
Right.
But
going a step further on those, I mean, this is Hasbro, the company that created the action figure in the first place. So, I mean, Transformers, G.I. Joe, you know, what have you, it should be able to stand up if it is an action figure.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to be said that I expect more from the official source.
Mm-hmm.
I expect more. Yeah. And that's really all I have to say on that point.
There was a interview with one of the Takara guys, and he said that they're currently right now designing Transformers 5 toys, and he also said that they are aware that the quality has gone down, and then they promised that the quality isn't going to be worse, so interpret that like you will. at least they said that this is as bad as it gets, so.
Well, at least they're acknowledging that, hey, we've made some mistakes, but.
Mm-hmm. They did state that they're trying to make it not as complicated, obviously, as, you know, like Revenge of the Fallen toys, but hopefully the quality does improve.
Well, one thing I can say is at least I guess these headmasters we're getting aren't going to be as bad as the G1 headmasters, where if you had a peg completely bust off, you can never fix it. So it seems like these are a little easier to deal with. Aren't they almost like a little ball joint now?
Yeah.
For the arms?
I believe so.
Yeah, so at least it's not as bad as what it used to be years ago. And honestly, G1 Swoop didn't really stand very well.
Yeah, just, he kind of has it.
Just going to kind of give you that that was a quality issue back then.
That depends on which feet you use.
Robot mode.
Let's move on to the next thing here.
This is my favorite. This is one that I've been waiting for a long, long time. So we finally have an image of the Masterpiece 32 Beast Wars Optimus Primal, or Beast Convoy, and it looks like he is using it's styled after the normal Masterpiece boxes, but it has distinct differences. For example, it has the iconic eye in the background as well as the scales. He also has it says Transformers Masterpiece at the top in the Beast Wars font, not the like. The logo font, but the actual Transformers, not the Beast Wars.
G2 Machine Wars, that era, 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then it also has the Beast Wars 20th
logo. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very, very excited about this.
Yeah, it's a really good-looking package, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know a lot of people love to hear that, but...
For fans of Beast Wars, in an interview, they did say that the Masterpiece Beast Wars line...
Beef Wars. McDonald's versus Burger King versus Wendy's.
Where's the beef?
Hey, gotta have Whataburger and Jack in the Box in there.
Jack in the Box. Yeah.
The Beast Wars... Masterpiece line is heavily depending on popularity. So if you want to see more Beast Wars Transformers Masterpiece, please buy this. And please buy the Cheetor, because I do want to see more. I really will. I know a lot of people, I'll wait for the KL. Please don't. Please buy official. I want more of these.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous.
They're adding a lot more features with the Masterpiece figures between Optimus Primal and Inferno, having different heads and different faces, and I think Inferno's got a different truck front or something too, doesn't he? I noticed in the pictures.
Mm-hmm. It's mainly meant for robot mode. It's to more resemble the cartoon model.
Yeah.
Whereas the one meant for the vehicle mode is a lot more detailed.
Yeah. Just seems like they're packing in a lot more kind of extra features with the Masterpieces than they had before, giving you the different head options and everything. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Options, as a collector, options is awesome. I'd rather have options than no options.
Absolutely.
Okay, so.
So there's some other Masterpiece news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next up, we have an obvious one, but the next one in the Coneheads, which is Thrust. And he looks really, really nice. I think he's my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Urge is better.
I dig the scowling eyes he's got going on there. It just looks like he just hates everybody.
I saw there was somebody, it might have been on Twitter, but somebody did a close-up of the Masterpiece Dirge face, and it just looks... is it the same as Ramjet's, or did they remold it?
I can't remember.
But I just love the look on it. It has that blocky, thick look that the G1 Coneheads had in their face.
Yeah, everything looks great about this. I like how the wings at the bottom rotate,
mm-hmm.
Just like the original toy. So if you like to have the wings like the G1 toy, you can. Looks like the wings can also fold back if you don't like them having them visible. Trying to see what else I can tell from the photo.
Basically, how did it look in the cartoon, and that's how I want it to look.
Yeah. I'm not too huge of a fan on the jet mode, but it's not going to be in that mode often.
Yeah, it hurts a different face mold than Thrust. Unless they have alternate faces like Inferno.
Now, Dirge does have a different head.
He's scowling. He's showing his teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has the big launchers. Mm-hmm. He looks really good, too.
I still think if I got that, I'd have to display him with the wings out because it makes it look like he's wearing a cape. Yeah. That's what I loved about him and Ramjet. They look like they're wearing capes.
Now, does Ramjet have his own number? Or is he MP11 whatever?
I believe he was MP11 NJ,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
So each of them has N in front. I wonder what that means.
Don't know. No, no, he was NR, which mm-hmm. which I would be in a Ramjet, and then I would imagine Thrust and NT and ND.
Mm-hmm. ND is Dirge. I wonder what N. We don't know if Thrust and Dirge are going to be exclusives. I would assume so, which is, again, really disappointing.
They are Takara Tomy Mall exclusives. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's really disappointing.
Which means they're going to be around $200.
Yeah, which is way too much for repaints. I mean, they're nice, but it's really hard to swallow $200 on something that I have like five others of.
Yeah, but... I'm going to do it
because
I want those toys. I've already got Ramjet. I mean, I don't have it in my possession yet, but I've got Ramjet, and I can't wait to get it in hand.
Really wish they would take that Ramjet and do a G2 of it. There's no real reason why they shouldn't. It would still get bought out.
They should have just made these mainline releases and then the G2 one, the mall exclusive.
I agree with that. I mean, honestly... Out of all the Masterpiece Starscreams we got, why on earth have we not got a G2 paint of that? We gotten like clear ones, ghost ones, whatever. Why not the G2? What's up with that?
I don't know.
That's weird. I mean, everybody. There are people out there like G2.
I think when it comes to these, I think I hope I'm not making a mistake by holding out, but I really want to hold out to see if Hasbro does these. Because $200 each is really tough to swallow.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for too. I just mm-hmm. I can't quite. I really like the revised Seeker mold. I can't quite pay $200 for each of those.
Interestingly enough, the lasers for those of you who don't actually have these. Or have not actually had a chance to mess with these. Dirge here in the photo that we have online or on the video, he's got the big thick cannons like he did in the cartoon. But if you prefer the thinner, smaller cannons like the toy had, those cannons, those big thick ones are actually a shell that you just pull off, and the thinner, smaller ones are actually underneath.
Yep.
Ramjet is the same way.
Yeah,
it's a really, pretty... really neat way to do it. Yeah, it's just basic. If you've messed with the Masterpiece Rumble and Frenzy, how the pile drivers attached to the arm, it's much in that same kind of thing.
Did And that's ingenious, because that way you don't have to make two separate accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a shell.
Duran, transformation-wise, how big of a difference is there between that ramjet and the actual seekers we got over here? How big of a difference is it?
Actually, very, very little. The biggest difference is the head is actually the back of the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
So you still maintain the cone head, but it's actually the back of the cockpit. And then there's like a little, they've remolded basically that center part that spins around and makes the chest and the head. That's been slightly remolded to where the back of the cockpit becomes the head. If you think the way the masterpiece, the MP-11 mold is, how the head is attached back there, basically what they did, I believe, is attach the cone to the top of the head, and then instead of the head being covered by a cover on the back of the plane, it just forms the back of the cockpit.
Best
way to describe it, I guess. It's really ingenious how they did it, and really it doesn't look like they changed a whole lot. As far as that's concerned, the biggest remolding is on the wings, of course, and looks like the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the covers are removed from the machine guns there on the arms, is there any purpose for those, or are they just kind of set off to the side?
Just set off to the side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, man.
It'd be really cool if they, like, combined together and became, like, a larger, like, bazooka or something. Yeah.
That would have been kind of
neat.
There is, now I didn't mess with it enough to know this, and those people who actually have this mold may be able to answer it more, but it's possible there may be an additional peg underneath the wing to, instead of having two lasers or missiles underneath the wings, have four, you know, kind of two small ones, two large ones. It's possible that might
be. If you look at them, it does have pegs. So maybe you can have four.
That would be cool.
Yeah, there's dual pegs there, so I don't see a reason why they couldn't do that. But what else have we got here, Sergio?
Trying to see what else we got.
Lyokaiser, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a much higher res picture of Lyokaiser that came out.
Yes. Let's see. Oops. Only my internet was faster.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Lyokaiser said to be an Entertainment Earth exclusive limited to 900 pieces? Is that correct?
Where did you hear that?
Seems like I read that online somewhere, but I'm not saying that that is golden truth, but it seems like I read that in one of the groups.
Really hope that it's not, because I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm pretty sure it is an Entertainment Earth exclusive.
I heard it's
Entertainment Earth exclusive, yeah.
But I never heard a limited amount like that.
Yeah,
if that's the case, this thing's going to probably be, well, at least around 200 or more.
Yeah, and it is also platinum. It is also platinum, too.
Okay, well, then I can probably see like 170 then, probably.
Trying to find the photo.
Because to be honest, if you look at any of the Unite, what was the Unite Warriors? Those are around what, 150?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around there.
I think the Brutica set was a little bit more because they had the completely and the Defensor because they had the completely new thing. Of course, there's the Platinum Unicron Armada Unicron reissue with the more G1-esque. Color scheme, even more so than the Amazon exclusive.
It's actually the same exact color scheme for our audio listeners. It's if you have the Amazon one, it's exactly the same one. It's just a jacked up price with a nice box.
Yeah.
If you guys missed out on this Amazon exclusive, you guys can get this one now.
Yeah, and it really sucks because he's retailing for like $179 when he came out, and on Amazon it was like $60. So it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get this toy 15 years ago, you could have a chance to own it again for three times the price.
I think I saw those Lyokaiser. There we go.
There he is.
Oh, now, they confirmed that that is, in fact, going to be a Platinum Edition release?
Yes, he is Platinum.
Mm-hmm. He is a Platinum, and he and Jack did say he is an Entertainment Earth exclusive.
Yeah, I've heard he's Entertainment Earth, but
he is. That's confirmed. Is,
honestly,
why would be Platinum?
Yeah.
If it's Platinum, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking at this thing like, yeah, it's Lyokaiser, but why would I give $170 to almost $180 for a
I thought I read that he was going to retail for $110. Didn't they have the little price thing at SCCC? I remember seeing $110.
Wouldn't doubt it.
The one thing I didn't see was that 900 pieces. That's like BotCon level numbers.
Yeah.
That if it's 900 pieces, that'll sell out within a day.
Absolutely.
That thing will sell out within 2 hours. Not in a day. That, literally, the second it comes up, it'll be gone.
The thing is, I foresee Takara being Takara and doing this Lyokaiser. However, instead of Death Source, I see us getting a completely new centerpiece as a Leozak, and maybe do like the Legends Beachcomber that came out several years ago.
Yeah.
Do that as a Jaguar. And maybe put like a port on it to where it would fit on the waist piece or something. That would be really neat.
I mean, it's a no-brainer because this is a Japanese market character, but as of now, we don't know. And even
it's beautiful, but it's not $170 and almost $200 beautiful for Platinum. It's just not. Nobody's going to buy that because there's a lot of people out there has complained about the quality of Combiner Wars, and they're not going to drop that.
I mean, the only way I could see they could justify a little bit of an increase in price would be like because it would be the Skylynx mold that nobody can find or something like that. But even then, that's a stretch.
I mean, that one back there that I got?
What's that?
You mean the Skylynx I got back here?
Maybe. The one I was hoping to buy two of at BotCon, one for me and one for a buddy of mine, and I bought his and never found one for me. That one?
Yeah, Skylinksville is one of the ones that was hardest to find. I mean, I like this Lyokaiser. I'm not dogging the Lyokaiser.
Well, sure.
I'm just saying that price point-wise, there's a lot of people that's complained about the quality of these things. I don't – and if they're going to limit this thing to 900 pieces, the second it sells, you know somebody's going to buy like four or five of them, throw them on eBay for like $600 a piece, and you're going to have a Combiner Wars that's almost as expensive as the vintage. Like seriously, it makes no sense.
Now the Legends figure weapon thing, that's a new deal, isn't it?
That is an Arms Micron. Okay. It's been used with some of the Prime figures. I'm trying to remember which Prime figure that was that had that particular one, because it's like a bird.
Oh yeah.
I want to say that was Smokescreen's weapon, wasn't it? Had like a crossbow kind of thing?
I'm not sure.
I have to say that Computron is probably one of the prettiest Combiner Wars figures we've got.
I could not be happier. I've always loved Computron.
Yeah, you could be happier if you had both.
that's not an if. That's a when.
That's a when, yeah. I'm
ecstatic that, like, you know, my personal favorite combiner is the one that got, you know, the cool new, you know, hands and feet design over the others that were just the foot or hand combo.
I mean, I'm glad they're doing two different variants, so at least you're not getting, like, a regurgitation or just, like, a slight repaint. I'd like this. I wish they would do more of that.
Right.
But, I mean, that's like I said, I love Lyokaiser, but if it's one of those exclusives, it's going to cost a lot of money, and there's not many people going to buy them. Yeah. There's just not.
Phil, what's your thoughts on these two guys?
I think it's a weird thing to do to Dazaris. kind of turned into a dragon. I mean, I know he had the dragon mode before, but to kind of lose his robot mode, and then he gets Leozak's color scheme thrust upon him, so he kind of ends up not really being Dazaris anymore. But
Leosaurus. But, you know,
that's okay, I guess. Yeah,
Leosaurus.
There you go. It's like they merge together. Yeah. No, I think the limbs are really cool. I think it's cool that they did new heads on the limbs for the Leo Kaiser set. So that's pretty neat. It's disappointing they didn't keep them called Breast Force, but I guess, you know, that didn't translate so well over here for the mass market. So they're called Destrons instead, which works fine. But Computron is really cool. I know people that are buying both sets and kind of mixing and matching the parts that they like. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, I'll probably go for the Takara one just because I kind of like what they did with the limbs a little bit better on the Takara one, I think. I was really kind of disappointed in him not having a new sculpted head for Computron. So that's why I kind of am leaning towards the Takara one there, I think. But
it's
disappointing not to get scrounged, but he was kind of a bonus anyway, I guess. So
yeah.
But yeah, the new hands and feet on the Hasbro one are really cool.
Yeah, that's the most eye-catching part too. I mean, they look like they've got the proper size and the and at least some posability to them. I mean, I'm not talking like perfect effect upgrade set here, but
sure.
But that I think covers it for the news that we'll talk about tonight. But Phil, you want to remind the listeners of the date and time and place of TF Expo
weekend? It is next weekend. It's August 5th and 6th. We'll have the actual schedule up here in the next day or so. August 5th is kind of a little bit more of a setup day just because it's Friday. We will have the vendor room open from 2 to 5. And then the Transformers the Movie showing at the Wichita Orpheum is Friday night at 8 p.m. Again, you can get your tickets for that at WichitaOrpheum.com. We are still selling general admission tickets in advance for TF Expo for Saturday. You can get those at TF-Expo.com. And that will be kind of the main day of the show. Again, we're bringing in David Kay and Michael Bell. So those will be our special guests. We're excited for all of that. We do have, again, the Captured Prey giveaway is a free Titan Master figure to the first 25 people in line on Saturday. So try to get there early for that. And then we've got Big Bad Toy Store, courtesy of Octobotomus, donating the Fort Max, the Titans Return Fort Max, for the charity auction, which will be Friday night at the Orpheum Transformers the Movie screening. So a lot of stuff to be excited about for DF Expo this year.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to be there.
Now,
fans, if you are coming to TF Expo or don't have anything to do next weekend or didn't have anything planned, come on out to TF Expo in Wichita. We'd love to see you. I'll be there, and Phil, of course, will be there. And then
check out maybe not mentally.
Check out all the visitors or all the vendors that they have there. A lot of great, great things. Casey Collar, did you say he's going to be there? Of course,
yes.
Guests David Kay, famous for Beast Wars Megatron, and Michael Bell, famous for G1 Prowl, Swoop, and Scrapper, and a number of other G1 characters. Phil, I want to thank you for joining us this week on TFYLP. I'll see you next week. Is there any other things you wanted to tell the fans?
No, just thanks for your support with TF Expo, and we really appreciate the TFYLP broadcast for having us on every year. We really enjoy hanging out with you, so thanks for having us, and Jeron, we'll see you next weekend, I guess, and hopefully, you know, a lot of listeners make it out, too.
Awesome. Well, Sergio, Plasticon, Jim, we'll see you all next week on TFYLP. I've most likely won't be here because I'll be in Wichita. So hopefully somebody can put the show together next week. We also are trying to put together some very special things for the fans of TFYLP and TF Expo. We'll hope to put those up sometime next weekend as well. So we'll see you next time on TFYLP, and thank you all for joining us. I'm Daron Land. See you next time.
Good night, guys.
Peace out, y'all.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.